Receive the free bowel screening test kit. Don't put it off. If you're aged between 50 and 74, take the kit to the bathroom and get to it. It's the free test that could save your life.
Here at Mix 94.5, we're all about saving lives. And I saw yesterday a post from WA Wildlife basically asking for a helping hand to say somehow, accidentally, we've ended up with a green tree frog down here in Perth that actually belongs in Broome.
Yep.
And it needs to go home because it's a biohazard. We'll have a problem with it being here. It's got to go home. And so it can't fly home. It needs to be driven home. And so the lovely people at WA Wildlife just put out a post and said, if anyone's on their way to Broome,
can I have a lift?
Would you mind taking this little dude?
Yeah, why not?
And I thought, let's follow this little dude's journey. And so we're going to have a chat with Dean Huxley from WA Wildlife. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning. How are you?
We're great. Now, Dean, we know WA Wildlife, you help a lot of animals and you're not getting any federal funding. So that's why you've had to reach out and say, hey, who can give this guy a trip up to Broome? What's the harm if the frog stays here?
Yeah, good question. So frogs and reptiles can pose huge biosecurity issues because where they're from, you know, if there's a particular disease and then we release it somewhere else, then that could pose huge problems for, you know, animals in that area. So it's always really important we take them back exactly where they're found.
Dean, how did the little fella end up here? Do we know?
Yeah, no, we're pretty sure he just hitched a ride on the car. So the people that brought him down were holidaying in Broome, and then they obviously came down here to Perth, and then from there they found the little frog in their car, so brought him down to us.
So cute.
Well, very responsible, because a lot of people could have just, you know, as you say, just released it into the garden and not thought anything of it. But who is now going to take the frog back to Broome?
Well, it was a special little update. The little frog is already on his way home as of this morning.
So you had someone in the community said, we're on our way. Did you pack a little lunch? I mean, when I go for a road trip, I'm packing red frogs, not green frogs.
No, so look, a lovely bloke by the name of Tim, who is heading up to Darwin, goes through Broome, he offered. But we actually had an overwhelming response from that post. We had about 60 people put their hand up to take him there.
Dean, did we name the frog? Did we call him Froggy McFrogface or anything like that?
No, well, I think we should name him Tim now in honour of the guy that brought him back
there.
Yeah,
fair call,
But as luck would have it, well, I don't know if it's luck or not, 2 minutes after Tim left, no joke, we had a black-headed monitor came in that has hitched a ride from the Pilbara.
A lizard. Monitor lizard.
Big lizard.
Monitor lizard. Yeah, this one's about a foot long, so now we're looking for someone that can drive a monitor lizard back to the Pilbara.
Tim, if you're listening, turn around. Oh, no, you probably don't want to put frog and monitor lizard in the same car together, do you?
No. I don't think that one wouldn't end up there.
No, that's true.
Dean, look, we're so grateful that we have WA Wildlife helping out like this, and also the wonderful people of the WA community coming forward to help you guys out, because as we said, we know you don't get any state or federal government funding, and you are relying on fundraising to keep the WA Wildlife Hospital running all year round. And so we're trying to do some fundraising for you as well. How can we help out?
Yeah, no, look, thanks for that. So, yeah, we don't receive any state or federal funding. We're very fortunate we received funding from the City of Coburn. They're a fantastic local government. But, yeah, other than that, we're responsible for raising all funds ourselves to keep the place running. So we do have our annual raffle, which is live now.
Yep.
So if members of the public wanted to support us, if they just go to our website, wawildlife.org.au, that would be fantastic. And that just helps pay for things like food, medications, housing, all that sort of stuff.
Good on you, mate. And some nice cash prizes there for
people.
Yeah,
raffle tickets to win $5,000. Okay. Yeah. Nice. Well, thanks so much, Dean. We really hope that the frog and the monitor
get home.
Get home safely. If there's any way we can help you in the future, let us know.
No, I really appreciate the opportunity to get the word out. Thank you very much.
They're Aussie comedy royalty who've won ARIA Awards and Emmy Awards. And they're now headed our way for a bunch of shows at the Regal Theatre. Please welcome Leno and Woodley.
Leno and Woodley, good morning.
I just want to say that
opener was whiz.
Wasn't it strong? Emotional, funny,
you know. Really nice to produce. I loved every minute of it.
God, we are so thrilled that you guys are in town again. We spoke to you a little while ago before the show had launched because you've done it in Melbourne.
We were quite nervous then. We thought we didn't know how good it was going to be, and now we know it's crap. So things have progressed.
Does it make it easier to
say? Well, there's one joke in it, but luckily that joke, the audience laughs at it for about 70 minutes.
Oh, so
it's really quite funny. It's quite funny. I mean, I've forgotten what it is.
We laugh about that, but actually that's been the joy of so much of your humour too, is that you guys are just such professional entertainers. You get the comic timing, and that's why you manage to, dare I say it, you can milk a joke and make it funnier than when it started.
Well, it's actually, we won a big comedy award in Edinburgh quite a while back, and that was a real slap in the face because we'd taken a drama. We thought we were performing a drama, and we won the best comedy show. So at that point, we just doubled down, and we went, okay, let's just...
Yeah.
So we're actually, even this show we're doing, Moby Dick.
Yes.
We thought, you know, let's finally we'll be taken seriously. And we tried to do this beautiful tragedy, and the audience just laughed from the start to the finish. And it's really insulting.
It's really insulting. But it is, you know, that's, I don't even know what I'm going to say. No, and I started talking.
You both walked in this morning with that glow that says to me, I've conquered Mandurah. Which you did over the weekend. Yeah. You don't see it from many people, but
if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere, Mandurah.
There was a point where about two-thirds of the way through, the entire audience did like a communal Will Smith on Cole and rushed the stage. But I found that quite entertaining.
It was literally a slap in the face.
What is the number one personality trait you'd like to change on each other, though?
Whoa.
The one where you're like, we've known each other a long time. Working with you is fun.
But... Are you pretty proud of that question?
Well,
this feels like one of those Tracy Grimshaw in a job interview where, you know, what's your weakness? Name one of your weaknesses. Well, my weakness is that I work too hard.
Oh, but you know what, too? It means that your next show can just be like open therapy.
So if I would change anything about Cole, I think it would be, the pre-show fondling, can we stop that, because I think that might even be illegal.
Yeah,
actually.
I mean, back in the old days, it was allowed, but now, now I can't do it.
It was a different time.
Yeah. You know. But
Mandurah, it was a different time. It was like three shows ago. That's all in the past. We've moved on.
I'd probably ask Frank to maybe use a deodorant every so often. That wouldn't go astray.
Not much to ask.
I think his hygiene levels are pretty similar to when I met him about 30 years ago.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, just
so
a little
links
bit of
Africa.
Yeah, just a little bit of personal hygiene wouldn't go astray.
I think my theory that you know, that personal hygiene is overrated. It's been borne out in that I've got a very robust immune system now. You know, and the whole world needs that now. And my neglect of my hygiene over the last 30 years has contributed to me having a very robust immune system.
Well done.
Very good.
I don't quite understand that, what you just said, but it sounded intelligent.
It's just all that extra bacteria around.
They say little kids, you know, if a little kid's in the backyard.
Yes, you're eating dirt, build up the immune system.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Stop disinfecting everything.
Matt understands what I was talking about.
Yeah. Now, Matt understands.
Moby Dick, of course, literary classic.
Yes.
But there will be lots of people, and I'm ashamed to admit that I'm one of them. I've never read Herman Melville's book.
Herman Melville.
What is it about that story that grabbed you?
Well, I read it during lockdown in Melbourne, so I had plenty of time. It's 700 pages. The thing about Moby Dick is that everybody knows that the voyage is doomed. Everybody knows kind of what happens in the story, really. I mean, Captain Ahab has been attacked by this white whale. He goes out because it's his nemesis. It's taken his leg, and it's all going to end badly. So,
but no one can stop it.
Nobody can stop it. All the crew are there kind of going, oh, he's mad. He's chasing this. He's gone on his demented quest. But they can't really do anything to stop it either.
You should go see the show, Lena and Woodley, A Demented Quest. It's going to be awesome.
It is awesome. I mean, I've seen it. I can see all the jokes coming.
Beautiful.
So thanks very much for having us. And this is my personal guarantee. If you go to the box office at the Regal Theatre and mention this interview and Colin said that you get half price tickets, it's my guarantee that they'll say, we don't know what you're talking about.
Yes.
You have to pay full price.
So try that out.
Personal guarantee. Try it out. Thanks, guys. Love you.
Pete, Matt and Kimber.
Now, people often say to me, because I always say, I'm ready to retire. Yeah. I'd happily retire tomorrow. And people go, oh, but what would you do? And it's like, no, I'm never bored, ever.
No, there's plenty of things to do.
Plenty of things to do, gardening, playing my guitar, PlayStation, whatever it is, reading, I'm more than happy.
Just need someone to pay all the bills.
Yes, that's the problem, you know, Powerball, you know, fingers crossed. But you've got to have something to do in retirement. And Andrew and Ursula Keese, they're a couple from Queensland who've come up with a fantastic idea.
Mm-hmm.
They've retired. They've got a great sort of Winnebago set up.
Oh, lovely.
So they're doing that dream thing, grey nomading around the country.
Yeah,
but they've set themselves a task to have a drink, in at least one drink, in every single pub in Australia.
Wow.
Now they've done Queensland and they've nearly finished South Australia.
Every pub?
Every single pub in the country.
Gee, that's going to take a long time.
8 years. They've worked it out that they can do it in 8 years.
That is a big commitment.
It's a huge commitment, but God bless them. You know, have a project. And but we've got Andrew and Ursula on the phone. Andrew and Ursula, thank you for joining us. I guess my first question is, why did you want to do this?
Well, of course. Where are you heading to next?
I left again.
Let's go left.
And I saw the sign.
Yeah, there's a sign you go left.
Right. And I know you've said you have at least one drink in every pub in Australia. How many have you had today?
There was one.
Okay. Look, thank you so much for joining us, and please drive safely and drink responsibly.
Guys, this has happened so regularly, I could just about have my own segment on it.
Okay.
It's Octopus Watch.
Okay.
Okay, now, I hate octopus. I think that octopus and squid are also part of it as well. But octopus in particular, I think, are our dark overlords and they cannot be trusted.
And I feel like we can.
Well, no, we can't. And that's the thing. I mean, there are some days where I feel like, let's just let the octopus have it. Let them take over. But they are one day just going to come storming up the beach and we are stuffed when they do.
Mm.
They are so smart. It's unnerving. And they make me feel really unwell.
Okay.
Right? Don't know what it is about them. And I said some time ago on here that I hate these octopus, and I've just seen one that is just, oh. And normally I'm creeped out by them just trying to get out of a jar. You know, like if you put an octopus in a jar and it undoes the lid, it's enough to creep me out. But this is a video that has emerged of a fishing crew that shot this video of a knockdown, drag-out fight between an octopus and a bald eagle.
Wow.
Right, which is pretty massive. A bald eagle, that's some big wingspan. And I'm assuming that the eagle went down for a snack and got more than it bargained for. But, Maddie, I haven't shown you the video because I don't know that you're as put off by an octopus as I am. So I'm just going to...
Okay.
Here's the video. You go. You can have a look.
I'm not showing...
I brought my support partner in, okay. K-Rod.
Do you want to have a listen to the
producer, Kerrod. This is what the audio sounds like.
These are the biggest octopus in the world.
Yep. Look at this thing.
Look at the size of the
That was amazing. Look at the size of this.
Holy dude. Holy
It's horrible. It's hot. This thing's enormous, right? This giant orange octopus. And it's so big. And basically these fishermen have just gone, you know what, should we intervene or not? They finally decided they should intervene. And they used a pole to try and peel the octopus off the eagle. And they got the octopus off and the eagle flew away.
Wow.
It actually got away. But thing is a monster.
Okay.
It is an absolute monster.
I've got many questions. First of all, it's good to know what Cheech and Chong are doing these days.
Didn't the creep you out, though. Like, what is the deal there? And what do you think that it was that the eagle went for a snack and the octopus went for it? Like,
yeah, would the eagle have swooped down to try and get it?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I'm trying to work out what the two of them, but Kerrod, you're equally creeped out. I tried to show Kerrod this morning, and what was the reason you didn't want to watch it?
Well, so I watched a documentary on octopus and cephalopods, I believe they're called.
Yes.
Oh,
look at you.
Back in the day. Yeah. And this would have been probably about a year and a half ago. And ever since then, I absolutely hate them.
Yeah, he's in the same boat.
They're disgusting.
We get it.
Amazing.
And they're amazing creatures, and I understand that, but it's to the point where they're so amazing that it's scary.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, Kerrod didn't want to watch that video this morning because he said, I'd like to keep my breakfast down.
And I'm still trying to keep it down.
Can
just
we just
it.
Say, it's going to be Octopus Watch. I'm going to tell you until I basically make people realise how terrifying octopus are, because I'm worried. I'm worried, guys.
And for that bald eagle, that really was his tipping point. He'll be off to Ashley and Martin before you know it.
Pete, Matt and Kimber on Mix 94.5.
Now, on September the 23rd, 1962, and before you say anything smart, no, I wasn't yet born.
I wasn't thinking that.
But on that date in 1962, television first aired this look into our future.
So good.
Jane, his wife. Now, it seemed at the time to be so accurate because, you know, it was a vision of the future where there'd be cleaning robots, flying cars, and his wife Jane would still come fourth on the title of importance of characters. So it seemed like, yeah, that's the way the world's going to be,
that's
no
how
doubt
it was
about it.
Exactly the same.
But I got to say, I only saw this come up the other day that in you know, they create these family trees. What we, in acting, we would call it creating a backstory for the character. And George Jensen's birth date we have just gone past was the 31st of July, 2022. Now, for in 1962, they made that his birthday.
That was his birth date.
Yes. So basically our time now. And I remember as a kid, it seemed like a no-brainer that we would be in flying cars by
horse.
It seemed like a no-brainer that we would be at the very least have a base on the moon, at the very least.
That makes sense to me. Then maybe Jetsons is the most accurate. You know, Back to the Future was way off.
Yes.
But this one could be, if he's only born now,
yes,
then there's still time. By the time he's a grown man to have two kids and a wife, we've got probably 20, 25 years up our sleeve.
Yeah.
Which maybe we are going to be in flying cars by then.
Well,
I
don't know.
Look at Tesla.
Yeah, maybe. But scientists seem to be obsessed with erectile dysfunction and hair loss, as we know. So, you know, we need those people to be working on the main stuff. But 131060, you know, I want to know, what did you envisage as a kid the world would be like now?
Do you know what? I only hoped for basic things. I hoped that we could just have, like, cured the common cold.
Yes.
Like something so simple. It seems so simple.
Yeah.
Why can't we get rid of the cold?
Well, I mean, certainly things like the sliding doors, automatic doors, which had on Star Trek, which apparently now were two stagehands behind
it. Yeah, you just do it manually. Yeah.
But, you know, even that was like, oh, that's pretty cool. The door knows that I'm here. But surely by now, we should be doing so many more things.
Absolutely. The one thing I was so envious of on the Jetsons was that when, you know, the wife, she just steps into that booth and it completely dresses her and does her hair and makeup. That has been my breakfast radio dream for, like, my entire life. I just want to step into a box and come out the other side and be ready to go.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Just the biggest dream ever.
That's the kind of dream that I had for the future.
Yeah.
All right. Give us a call. What did you reckon the world was going to look like in the future when you were a kid?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like now, being that
now.
Future.
Yeah, 131060. Aaron's in Midland. G'day, mate. What did you think the world would be like by now?
I thought there'd be self-driving cars back when I was a kid. And I thought there'd be like flying fire trucks and police cars for some reason.
Well, we do have self-driving cars and we have self-driving trucks. I mean, is that not future enough for you, Johnny?
I honestly thought there'd be more.
Yeah, me too.
And they're not really, they haven't really
they're
nailed
a novelty,
it yet,
aren't they?
Because they do kind of crash into things
they
still.
Do, yes. Good on you, buddy. Johnny's in Wandy. Johnny, what did you think the world was going to be like in 2022 when you were a kid?
So I used to watch a lot of Jim Neutron when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's just a lot of inspiration for ideas. He had the robotic dog, which I thought was amazing. He had yep. a robotic dog. But a similar thing to what Kimball was saying with the gadget from Jetson's wife. He had like this thing in the bathroom that like a robot, and it would brush his teeth, do his hair, wash his face, get him dressed. And
that's right. The little arm would come out and brush his teeth
that's
for
right.
him.
Yeah, and watching that as a kid, that's pretty much all you wanted was a robotic dog and something to get you ready.
See, let's face it, Johnny, none of us have the effort. We can't be bothered taking care of ourselves. We just want someone else to do it for us.
Yeah, and the way I see it is that if there's a robot doing it for you, you get to sleep a bit longer as well.
Well, yeah, that's it. The future was about being lazier than we are now. Bring it on, I say.
Pete, Matt and Kimber.
Now, guys, my partner James and I, we love a costume party. If there's a dress-up party, we are all over it. We go to a lot of trouble and he likes to create a lot of magic costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And where we can, we try to match our outfits. You know, you sort of like, let's try and pair up. So if there's a theme where we know we
like
could
Bonnie
go.
Bonnie and Clyde or something like
if
that.
Yeah, if you know that you can match, we'll attempt to do that and go as a matching pair.
Okay.
Except I didn't think we would be doing that in real life, and apparently that is where we're at. Been together a while now, and we're at Bunnings on the weekend. Got out of the car, walking through Bunnings, and we sort of split up, you know, when you kind of go, you go get that and I'll go get that and we'll meet somewhere. And when I went looking for him again, couldn't locate him and thought, oh, what was he wearing today so that I can try and find him a little bit easier in the aisles. And it was then that I discovered, oh, he's dressed in the same thing I'm dressed in. We basically left the house wearing a total matching couple's outfit without realizing.
Okay.
It was a black t-shirt, a black hoodie, as well as green cargo pants. And while he was wearing a kind of fawn coloured work boot, I was wearing a fawn coloured gum boot.
There you go.
The whole outfit. Like head to toe, standing in Bunnings going, we almost look like we're in a work uniform, except we're in a relationship and this is embarrassing.
A relationship uniform?
Yeah.
That's not like, bad, actually.
You know, if I've seen couples out in convertibles and they've got matching caps, I think, what a couple of dorks.
Sure.
And here we are, head to toe in the same getup. And he goes, wow, we really are dressed the same. And I was like, yeah, but to be fair, I feel like it's on me because the fact that we're in green cargo pants, black hoodies and t-shirts, I feel like I'm wearing the bloke's outfit here.
It does make it handy, though, if he was truly lost in Bunnings, you could have got them to make an announcement saying, we're looking for a little boy dressed exactly the same as Kimber. I used to, when I lived in St Kilda in Melbourne, there was a couple and I saw them, like, not daily, but a lot, for over 10 years. And never once did we sort of pass the time of day, but they always wore the same pair of women's shoes. So it's a man and a woman.
Yep.
You know, characters, definitely characters. And he would always be wearing women's shoes, but they were the same as hers.
Oh, wow. I've never.
Not a heel so much, but a sensible shoe.
A loafer.
A loafer.
A women's loafer.
Yeah.
Because I've never known a woman's heel to be more comfortable than any other shoe ever.
That was clearly a good 2-for-1 offer going for 10 years in St Kilda on women's shoes.
Pete, Matt, and Kimber on Mix 94.5.
Guys, we're talking about the scary, scary roads of Perth.
Oh, yes.
And they can be, particularly in this weather, but I often find that it's just a design issue.
Yeah.
I think that we have some poorly made intersections and streets in Perth that are just dangerous any time of the year.
Yep.
And RAC have done a survey, which often is the case. They put these out semi-regularly.
Ask 4 people.
Yeah, just the 4 people. They got more than 10,000 nominations this time for Perth peeps who are identifying streets and intersections that they feel scared to drive on.
Okay.
Now, straight up, as soon as I saw that article, I thought to myself, I know what's going to be number one.
Mm-hmm.
I was wrong.
You were wrong.
Because I thought number one, without question, is going to be the Gauntlet. which is that stupid bit in West Perth when you're basically, I guess, Mitchell Freeway merging to the Kwinana Freeway, like
to
turning
Charles
to south.
What is that stupid bit
that is like kind of...
Yeah, so there's kind of like three or four roads that all kind of merge together.
Yeah.
You've got Parliament House on one side.
And you've got Channel 9 building on the other, and you're just about to go over the bridge, and whatever that section is there, every day that you get through there is like a phew.
Yes.
Can't believe I made it.
Yeah, too right.
Super, super dangerous. But unbelievably, that's only second on the list.
Oh, second on the list.
Yeah. First on the list, Farrell Road in Midvale. Now, what's interesting about this list is that lots of the places are actually roads that are not your main city streets.
Sure.
So we're getting like Neves Road in Bankshire Grove, Orton Road, Casuarina, Cargotich Road in Oakford.
Okay.
Like these are sort of outward, you know, Flynn Road in Carramar, Mundajong Road. They're like the top 10 and they're not the main streets I would expect.
I don't know if this part of Tonkin Highway is on the list in terms of sort of accidents, but for me, I've spoken to you about it before because I drive that quite often. There's an energy to it that actually sort of scares me a bit. Like maybe it's because I'm in a tiny little Mazda 3 and most of the people who are driving that road are in big trucks.
And at the moment, there's so many roadworks that you're driving between all those little orange cones and there's a lot of distractions on Tonkin Highway.
Well, you've got the sort of Bayswater Tonkin Highway area, which is a mess, but presumably that will be fixed. But even in the section that's sort of going towards sort of Armidale, once you get past the airport, it's just a real kind of macho energy to that road. And I always find that I'm putting along and then there's a big car next to me and there's just a lot of noise and a lot of smoke and fumes. Just, it scares me.
I don't know what it is. Some roads you just realise you're gripping the steering wheel that little bit tighter and you don't feel as safe. But 131060, what's the Perth road that scares you?
Uh-huh.
And I know we all need to be cautious drivers and safe drivers and nobody needs a scared driver behind the wheel. They're the worst kind. But we get it. There are just certain bits. Every time I run that gauntlet, I think, please, please, please make it another day.
Yeah, what's going to happen here?
Kate in East Frio, what do you think is the scary place to drive in Perth?
I reckon definitely that Manning Road where it ends and goes onto the Canning Highway where there's like four lanes, two turn left, two turn right, and they merge together.
Oh, yes. God, that sounds like
and
a nightmare.
And you're like trying to turn over to the other left lane and there's like people from that left lane merging into yours.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
If you're coming off the freeway, it is nasty.
Yes.
Yeah, don't like that spot at all, Kate. You're right.
Good choice there, Kate.
Thanks, Kate. We'll go to Judy from Helena Valley. What's your scary spot on the roads?
Well, driving down Greenmount Hill, Great Eastern Highway, there's guards at the edge of the road. So if you stop you from falling off the road. Everyone's doing about 90 kilometres an hour. There's curbs in the middle of the road as well.
Mm-hmm.
And around every bend, you've got to be careful. There's not a truck.
And people distracted by the view and know, because it is very beautiful, but you do need to focus on what you're doing, don't you?
And you know the nature of vertigo is kind of when you feel like you're on the edge of a building and you almost want to leap off. I feel like that with the truck arrestor bay.
Oh, you really want to drive through the gravel?
It looks like fun. I'm sure it ain't if you're in
It's not like a slippery slide, Matt. You're not just going to run up.
I get it.
Damon in Balladura, what else do you reckon is scary in Perth? Where's a scary place to drive?
It's not actually the roads, it's the drivers.
Damon, what do we do though? How can all of people in Perth think that Perth has bad drivers, but no one thinks they're a bad driver? How do we fix this?
People learn how to use a roundabout.
Mm-hmm.
Merging on the freeway is probably, and road highway is probably one of the worst ones for me.
Yes. Yep.
Indicators.
Yeah.
What are they?
Just because you know where you're going doesn't mean the person behind
you does.
Yeah, and at least if you do indicate when you haven't bothered to check your blind spot, the rest of us might have a chance to react to your stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, if we're lucky.
Good on you, Damon.
Zoe in Butler, where do you reckon is the Perth road that's a bit scary to drive on?
Oh, well, following up from the last call, it'd be the Mitchell Freeway because people just don't know how to merge properly.
Oh, that horrible, the gauntlet. The horrible pit in the middle of the city that we don't understand.
Yeah, well, mine's more towards Ocean Reef exit and everything.
Yep.
We actually had a car accident there a few years ago because someone merged in front of us and we got rear-ended. So, that bit always gives me the jitters.
Yeah, that's the problem too, isn't it? Once you've had an accident somewhere, every time you go through that section again, and if you're passing that to go home and stuff, it's awkward all the time. Well, take it easy out there. Everyone put your lights on, real lights, not park lights.
Hello, it's Pete, Matt and Kimber.
Big shoes to fill here, Tim, I tell you.
Minus the Pete. I've always loved listening to you guys play this game. It's a lot of fun, but I've never actually thought that I would have to play the part of Pete.
Oh, it's Pete's baby. Yes.
You're kidding with you guys. So basically, we have these little segments of audio with, you know, a bit of a song maybe, a bit of a movie, a big event that happened in a particular year.
Popular culture, basically.
Yeah, and you guys hear those, you have to work out what year we're talking about.
The most important question is, do you have Pete's whip available to you?
Oh, hang on. Yeah, let me see. Here we go.
Oh, we are on, baby.
Okay.
Not your first time, was it, Tim?
No.
Yeah, that's my own whip. So this is the first one. Okay. Have a listen to this.
Hi, it's Vince with ShamWow. You'll be saying wow every time you use this towel. It's like a chamois. It's like a towel.
Michael, what happened to your arm?
I stopped it.
Wow. He watered it?
I think he said he stopped it. I don't know.
What happened to your arm? Gee, now, this is a tough one.
What on earth
this is
that?
This is a tough one. I mean, producer Kerrod, Matt and I both do not recognise the reference of the last audio grab.
Yes, it is from a particular movie that I will remember after we get to the next song.
Oh, great.
Kerrod cut the audio a couple of days ago. Give the guy a break. Okay. He doesn't remember.
It could be any year between 1940 and 2022.
Okay, so we'll whack on some Lizzo. Okay. You guys think about it, and we'll come back and see how you went, okay?
Okay. Producer Kerrod told us during that song there that that is from The Blind Side, that last grab that we did not recognise. Sandra Bullock. That fun gridiron-y movie.
Yeah, well Oscars movie. I think it won some Oscars.
I'm locking in my answer, Tim. I'm writing it down. I don't know because the ShamWow's throwing me off. I thought the ShamWow was from the 90s.
Okay.
I'm going with 2008.
I've gone 1997, which is what I go with whenever I don't know.
But was it the ShamWow that made you go for the 90s, was it?
Yeah.
Okay, so I can reveal, this is where I just reveal what year it is. I can reveal it was 2009.
Whoa!
So, KC.
All right. Okay, I'll take it. Let's go another montage. Okay.
All right. This is number two. Have a listen.
She offers me protection.
Some guy selling an overhead projector.
Nah. Now, hang on, Steve. What's he asking?
150.
Tell him he's dreaming.
Wallace, also known as Biggie Smalls, was shot from a passing vehicle.
Okay, I reckon you recognise that movie grab, don't you?
All right, Maddie and I both going in.
Oh,
what did you go with, Maddie?
97.
So did I.
Okay.
1997.
So,
I mean, obviously The Castle.
Yeah.
I remember who I watched that with, but I was friends with them for a few years, so I'm trying to work out where that would have sat in our lives.
Can I drop some names here?
Yeah.
I was at the rap party for The Castle.
Wow.
Because, I'd just done Love and Other Catastrophes, and I was sort of like a C-grade celebrity.
Oh, yeah.
So I got invited to the rap party.
Oh, so then you definitely know when it was.
Well, God. It was around that time.
Okay.
I was drinking quite heavily.
It was
in those
a rap
days.
Party, yeah, Kim, but yeah, we were all drinking.
Yeah. You both seemed fairly confident it was 1997, and it was 1997.
There you go.
Well done.
Okay, so is that a draw then? So we get to play a third montage?
Well, yes, we have to.
Okay, all right. So here's the next one. Listen carefully.
Wax on, right hand.
Oh,
wax
God.
Off, left hand.
Memories there.
Oh, man. Okay, I mean, this is tough, isn't it?
When was all that stuff?
I'm going to go with that because I don't know.
I'm going to do something crazy and go the same year. 97.
You got 97 again.
Why would you go 97?
I don't know.
You know, it was Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go and Wax On, Wax Off, which is Karate Kid, right?
Oh, hang on. And no, I don't know.
Freedom.
Okay. Is he allowed to Christmas. Change?
I was trying to think more about Live Aid and all that. I can't remember when that all happened. Yeah.
I went for 1984.
Okay, 1984 for KC, and you're definitely locking in.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, leave it there.
You're going to leave it at 97?
You might jag it. Who knows?
It was 1984,
KC. Yeah! Oh, my God. I'm on the money today.
Nailing it. So what happened there? What was the score all up?
I won, Tim. That's all you need to remember.
Okay, cool.
So add it to the list.
Congratulations. Where are we actually? Karen,
that's the scoreboard up there. Oh, so okay. It must
16
be
16 to 10.
17 to 10.
Okay, 17 to 10.
How did you get 17?
Well, because they haven't written today's markup, have they? Or did you just do it?
Yeah, just
do
it. Just
oh, sorry, okay. 16 to 10. Mm.
Well done. 16-10 to KC. You're kidding me. Back again next week. And Pete will be back then. And I'm sure it'll go much more smoothly.
No, you did a good job.
Receive the free bowel screening test kit. It's the free test that could save your life. Mix 94.5.